Take your Bibles and turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 9. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. Now, I like what it says to start with, but that is really just concluding what goes before. Do not lie to one another, and that's some real good advice. but let's begin with this next phrase. Do not lie to one another, or any of the other things that went before this that are really negative and bad. We need to change those things. All those things we're to put away and to unclothe ourselves with. But he says, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices, and it's mentioned a bunch of those evil practices last week. Since you have laid aside the old self, the old lost, dying, going to hell person that you used to be. We've got rid of that person. Because of Jesus Christ, because he's forgiven us and because he's saved us, he made us a brand new person in Christ Jesus. So we're no longer that old self. Now, we still have a sinful flesh hanging on to us. It just doesn't want to seem to give up and let us become what we're going to become. But we have put off this old self. We've laid it aside, like taking clothes off. We've taken off this old self with its evil practices. And verse 10 says, and we have now put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Now, verse 10 is interesting. We'll get to that in a little bit. But it says, but put on the new self who is being renewed. Now, this is something that God has done and God is doing. One, we have put on our new self if we have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The old, lost, dying, going to hell person has been put off. He's put away. He's not who we are anymore. But we are now a new, saved, spirit-indwelt believer who's going to heaven, and that's who we are now. And so, this person that we are now is, but here's the neat thing. We are a new person, but still yet we're being renewed day by day, and how we're being renewed, the word tells us. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 11 tells us about the renewal that what we have become because of Jesus Christ, who we are because of Jesus Christ. And now because Christ is everything, because Christ is all and in all, the Bible says no longer is there a distinction, no longer is there a difference between Greek and Jew. Now, the Greeks weren't really okay with that because the Jews weren't okay with that. Had the Jews been okay with, hey, we're just all one now. We're not Jews. We're not Greeks. We're believers. But because the Jewish people really hadn't accepted that, they said, no, y'all are still Greeks. We're Jews. We're the people of God. Yeah, y'all can be saved. We're going to let y'all in, but y'all are not who we are. That was their attitude. That was their idea. We're still the elite of God. And so he's saying, we have put off the old self. We put on a new self. We're being renewed each day, and a renewal in which there is no distinction. We're not going to talk about differences anymore. We're going to talk about what we have in common, not what we don't have in common. There's no distinction between Greek and Jew. There's no distinction between those who are circumcised and those who are uncircumcised. No distinction between those who are barbarians or something much worse than that, the Scythians. That's just as bad as you can get. There's just nothing you can do to be worse than be a Scythian. And so he says, there's no difference between slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So then, so as those who have been chosen of God, now he's saying, all right, guys, Christ is everything, Christ is all, and he's in all, and this applies to all who have been chosen of God. God has chosen you. God has chosen you to be adopted as his sons before the foundation of the world. God has chosen you to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. This is a work of God. He's chosen of God to be holy and beloved. And he said, if that's you, if you have been chosen of God, declared to be holy, loved by God, then, he says, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, verse 14, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now in verse 9, Paul tells us that Christians have laid aside. We've taken off, like taking off clothes, the old self with its practices. When we are saved, this happens to us. Our old unbelieving self dies. And we change or are changed. And some people try to explain this like a butterfly in its cocoon before the butterfly becomes a beautiful butterfly. It is kept inside its own cocoon, and you have to shed that old existence that you were, and you become a new creature created in Christ Jesus, is what God's word says. So last week I talked about the putting off of the old, and this week we're going to mostly talk about putting on the new, and the putting on the new is when we put on our new self. But then it says, who is being renewed day by day, or who is being renewed by a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created us. Now, this is a work of God. It's a work that God does in us. But even though it's a work that God does in us, it's a work that we can't do in our own strength. It's a work that we can't do of ourselves. It is something that God, the Holy Spirit, does in us that changes us. And yet, when God's doing that, we make the changes. Now, I don't know how to explain that. I just know that God has saved us and made us a brand new person. We are babies in Jesus Christ. When God gives us a new birth, when God changes our heart, we are not the spiritually mature people we will become. And in fact, one of these days, we're going to become perfect, right? When are we going to become perfect? Y'all scared to answer my questions? When what? When we get to heaven, we're going to be made perfect. When God redeems this old body and gives us our brand new body, we're going to be sinlessly perfect. We're going to be physically perfect. We're going to be socially perfect. We're going to be every way perfect. But we are going to be spiritually perfect, sinless before God for all time. When Jesus comes again, folks, we're going to be redeemed and receive our redeemed bodies. Redeemed. Redeemed bodies. Brand new people. Sinlessly perfect. Do you really believe that God, when he returns, If we're alive and we're remaining on the earth when Jesus returns, do you really believe that God is going to just instantly make us perfect forever? Say, yes, preacher, we believe that. I think I scared some of you in doubting it. I don't know. Listen, that's going to happen. God is going to instantly make us completely perfect forever. And if God's going to do that, let me ask you a question. Why didn't he do it now? I mean, if God can do it then, he's God. God could do it when we get saved. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you know what God could do? God could have made you sinlessly perfect that day. Why didn't he? You want me to tell you? He is molding us for eternity. But you know what? When God's the potter and we're the clay, and he puts his hands on us, and he puts pressure on us, and he puts this way on us, and he puts this way on us, and God is molding us and making us. You know what? My friend, God, he spoke the world into being just by the spoken word, didn't he? He didn't do all this over a long period of time. No, God just did it. You think I'm sweating enough, I need some water, don't you? Thank you, Johnny. Amen. It might help a little bit. Folks, I'm wanting you to listen to me, not worry about me, all right? I'm still doing fat. Well, I gotta just get you to thinking about what I'm saying instead of worrying about me so much. I can see it all over your faces, and y'all are worrying me. God could instantly make any of us perfect while on his earth if he wanted to. And the reason he doesn't do it that way, my answer is, I don't know. But I don't have to know. That's his business, right? But instead of God choosing it to do it that way, God has chosen to do it another way. God has chosen to make us new creatures that are like babies in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the work of the Word of God in our hearts, and by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, God is going to spiritually mature us and help us become the new people that God made us to be. And that's God's plan. I can't tell you why that's God's plan. I can tell you that is God's plan. God is creating a whole new community of believers out of people who have taken off their old self, who are renewing us day by day. God is renewing us. It's not an instantaneous, complete work that God does. The work of God making us new is a continuous work that God does in our heart for his glory, and there is something God is aiming at. The new people in the new community of believers do not boast about anything about themselves. They boast that Christ is all and in all. Now let's look at verse 10, beginning in verse 10. You've put on their new self. You're being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, between circumcised and uncircumcised, between barbarian or Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. Now, that's the goal God is making, first of all. There is no place in a church. There is no place in a community of brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no place in people's lives that call themselves Christians for any sort of feelings of superiority based on
What country are we from? Or what race are we from? Or what social class are we from? God said, I don't care what nation you're from, Mexico or Canada or Afghanistan or the Congo or Somalia or Southeast Asia. I don't care where you're from. And you need to quit focusing on where you're from and start focusing on whose you are. Do you hear me? God said there is no place, if you've put off your old self, you've put on your new self, there is no place at all for you to think you're superior because of the country you're from or because of the race that you're from. I want you to understand, folks, clearly taught in the Word of God, if you're saved, you're not to be proud about being white. You're not to be proud about being black. You're not to be proud about being yellow. You're not to be proud about being brown. Listen to me. Jesus says he is all and in all, that he is all that makes any difference. Folks, it is not white lives matter. It is not black lives matter. It is not Asian lives that matters. It is that all of us matter because of Jesus Christ. He gave his life so that God would redeem people from every kindred, every tribe, every nation, and every tongue. And if God puts us all in the same city or in the same country or in the same area, my friend, we ought not to think anything about ourselves as being better in any way than any of the others. And literally, we just ought not to think about there being a difference. Now, I know I'm white. I can't help that. In fact, I wish I was a little bit browner. But I'm not willing to stand out there in that hot sun to get a tan. But my friend, there is no racial superiority. And we're never to think like that. 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 But hey, I'm afraid sometimes we do. You know what? When God saved me, he could have instantly made me perfectly unprejudiced. He could have. He could have made me sinless so that I never have any thoughts about racial barriers. But he didn't. You know what God did to me? He gave me a new heart. He created a new self that needs to be renewed. And daily, I need the renewing of the Word of God and the Spirit of God to change and to become more of what God wants me to be. Listen to me, folks. Verse 10 clearly tells us God made you new. God forgave you. The Holy Spirit come to live within you. God changed you from the old, lost, dying, going to hell person you were into a new, saved, going to heaven person that you are, who is being renewed. God saved us, and now God is renewing us. And what God is renewing us to accomplish is so that we don't think because we're Jews, we're better than non-Jews. Or we don't think that because we're Americans, we're better than non-Americans. That we don't think because we're black that we're better than whites, or whites better than blacks, or Hispanic better than Asian. God doesn't want us to think that way. God saved us so we wouldn't think that way, and now God is working in our hearts with the Word of God so that we won't think that way. And I thank God for the progress he's making in our lives. I'm going to tell you something. Before Christ and before the Holy Spirit come to live within us, and before people were saved by faith, you were not going to find a worshiper of Jehovah in a Jewish synagogue who didn't think he was better than a non-Jew. Before Christ, you weren't going to find people that didn't think they were superior because they were Jewish. And you weren't going to find non-Jewish people that hadn't converted to Judaism. You weren't even going to find them in the synagogue worshiping with Jews. They weren't permitted. They weren't allowed. They weren't wanted. If they converted, you know what? They could come in the outer courts of the Gentiles. But even then, recognizing they have become children of God, they would say, okay, you Gentile children of God, y'all can come in this far. You can't come in here where we are. We are the elite of God. God help anybody that thinks because you're Asian, you're better than non-Asian. Or because you're Hispanic, you're better than non-Hispanic. Or because you're black, you're better than non-blacks. Or because you're white, you're better than non-whites. Because God saved you and made you a new person so that in your new person, you could be renewed until you look like what? Until you look like a person that doesn't care what color, what race, what nationality. Until people can look at you and talk to you and say, hey, that guy doesn't care that I'm black. That guy doesn't care that I'm Asian. Hey, that guy, he just doesn't care. He just accepts me because of Christ. You know what matters is Christ in your heart. That's all that matters, and that does matter. When people get married, do you know what matters? That they are in Christ Jesus. And you know, when people adopt children from other countries, one of the neatest things in the world is that there are countries where if you're born, like in China, if you're born in China and you're a girl, you're probably not wanted. They, at that time, you could only have one child. And if you were a girl, you might be discarded. Or if you were a boy that had a finger gone or a hand gone, you were probably going to be discarded. Now they can have two children. And so people are not discarding as many babies as they used to be. But one of the most beautiful things in the world is when someone who's willing to love a child that's not perfect goes overseas and takes a child of a different color and brings it home and loves it as their child. That is beautiful. Because it is not nationality. It is not color. It is Christ. He's everything. And he is all. And he's in you. If he is in you, Christ is all. And in all. And so you know, Jewish people and Greek people, you just got to learn to love one another and forget about Jewishness or non-Jewishness. Forget about it. And if you're barbarian, now, you might be okay, I forget this, you know, Jewish, non-Jewishness. I'll get over that. But this barbarian, now, I don't want my daughter bringing home no barbarian. I remember the day before my kids got married. I didn't want them bringing home no barbarian. One night I went to a football game and I saw
Alicia over there with Alex. I thought, oh, Lord. That boy had hair as long as I had when I was in high school. I sure am glad I had long hair in high school. It sure made it easier for me. When Ross went and came home with Brooke, boy, I thought, no. I say, isn't he a fortunate son? Amen. When Amber came home with Andy, I said, I'm going to have a good cook, I know. Listen to me, folks. What matters is Christ in you. That is what matters. And listen to me. I can't help how you feel. I can just tell you, that's what matters. And that's all that matters to God. And God wants you and I looking at people and living our lives in such a way is that everybody looks at our heart and our life and our thoughts and says, you know what matters to that guy? Is Jesus. And that's what God has made us new for. A Scythian, you know what they were? Come on, Abby, pull out Google. You know what a Scythian is? That is the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst of your society. Okay? The Scythians actually ruled in part of Asia for 28 years. But you know what they were? They were just Gentiles that were worse than barbarians. In fact, they were so cruel and so mean and so nasty and so ugly. When they went to war, the first person they killed, they stopped and drank his blood. And when they got through drinking their blood, they scalped them. And they made handkerchiefs out of their scalps. I thank God for cotton. That's a whole lot better than taking Brother Keith's scalp to wipe my forehead. They took their skulls and cut the top part of them off and made their soup bowls. That's a Scythian. Someone who lived like that day by day. That was their morals. That was their standard of living. That was what they were like before they came to faith in Jesus Christ. I hope they quit that pretty quick, right? But do you know what God's plan for the church is? God's plan for the church is to take Scythians and barbarians and slaves and free people and Jews and non-Jews and make a family out of all of them that love each other. Bill, that's pretty nice, isn't it? For God to take a Jew that spent all of his life thinking he was better than everybody in the whole world that wasn't a Jew. And for God to take someone that thought they were superior to all of other people, no matter what nation they were from, no matter what color they were better in every way than every other person that lived that was non-Jewish. And it was God's plan to make a community of believers who loved each other out of people who thought they were better than everybody before they got saved. And people that hated the Jews because of the way the Jews felt toward them. So they hated them.
and it was God's plans to take people that they called half-breeds because they were Samaritans who were mixed. But it was God's plan to take people who were mixed race, God's plan to take people who were self-centered and Jewish, and God's plan was to take people that were Gentile from every nation in the entire world that came from every different kind of religious thought that there ever was, and even take people who made soup bowls out of the skulls of people. And it was God's plan to make a body of believers that loved each other with all of their heart out of that mixture of people. And when God was doing their work in their heart, they forgot about all those things of what you used to be and what I used to be and what I am and what you are. They forgot about all those things. And Jesus Christ died on the cross, gave his life for us, that Christ might be all and in all. And even though he didn't make us perfectly come to all of those conclusions when he saved us, that through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit, God was going to go to work on each one of us until we looked like a bunch of people that don't care about what country you came from or what color you are or what religion you used to be a part of. That we just simply love one another because we're in Christ. That's the purpose of God in making us new people according to the Word of God. So he says in verse 12, so, okay, y'all got that? That's God's attitude he wants in our hearts and our lives. So, as those who've been chosen of God, holy, beloved, and loved, here's what you do. Put on a heart of compassion. All right, here it is. God gave us a new person. God made us new. We took off the old. We put on the new. We're new people in Christ, right? So then, because you've put on a new person, then this is what I want you to start doing. I'm renewing you day by day. So put on a heart of compassion. How do you put on a heart of compassion? We'll look at it clear tonight, okay? But the way you put on a heart of compassion is you recognize you don't have the power to do that, okay? So all of Colossians keeps telling us to do something. What does God want us to do? God wants all of us to look to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you. I can't do this. I was raised this way. I was brought up this way. I've been this way. God, change me. God, you do this work in me. God, change me. And God says, okay, get in the Word of God. In our text, he's going to show us that we need to literally fill ourselves with the Word of God and pray. And ask the Holy Spirit. Tell the Holy Spirit. He knows. Everything you got a problem with, he knows. Right? Every bad thought you have, every little thing that's wrong with you, everything that's secret to everybody but you, God knows. The Holy Spirit of God knows. But you know what? This is something else I don't understand. If God knows, why does he want us to tell him? I don't know, but I know he does, right? So we say to God, God, I have trouble with prejudice. God, I have trouble. I just have trouble not feeling negatively. And you start giving God excuses. And God said, look, let's just stop the excuses. I don't care what reasons you say you have. I've made you a new person. The Holy Spirit lives within you. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit will do the work to change you. I don't care if every single one of them outside of the body of Christ is a Scythian. I don't care if they've made soup bowls out of your friends' heads. I don't care if missionaries went to the Aka Indians and killed all five aviation pilot missionaries the first day they landed. I don't care what they did in the past. Love them today. Love them today. That's why I created you new. That's why the Holy Spirit lives within you. So that the new person that you are becomes more and more the person God created you to be until you die or Jesus returns. Then I'll finish it. And he will finish it. So those who've been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion and put on kindness. Do you know what the Greek word kindness means? Kindness. You got to get real deep like that, you know? Folks, I could go through word studies on every one of these words. But you know what they basically mean? What your English translation says they mean? Put on kindness. Humility. Humility is when you don't think you're any better at all than anybody else. And you don't have to have your way. You're just humble. And that's kind of neat, right? So God said, I saved you so you would put on a heart of compassion, you'd put on kindness, you put on humility, you'll put on gentleness. You know what gentleness means? Someone give me a good answer. What does gentleness mean? Someone come up with a real good definition for gentleness. Try gentleness. That's what it means. All right? Do you want me to go a little bit further than that? Gentleness is when you would rather be hurt than hurt. Okay? You would rather be hurt than hurt. Have you ever had someone from another race hurt you? Have you ever had anybody from another race make you feel bad? Y'all are all sitting here looking at me like, duh. Be honest. Have you ever heard someone from another race belittle you? Do you know what God wants you to do when that happens? Slap them. No. That's what you want to do. Do you know what God wants you to do? Yeah. But there's something even better. I got a better answer, okay? You knew that, right? God wants you to thank God that it was them that hurt you instead of you that hurt them. Okay? When someone has done something to you, the first thing you ought to do is thank God it was you that got hurt
instead of you doing the hurting. That's gentleness. And patience. Patience is why God lets you get married. Well, it is. Marriage is the perfect place to work on patience. And after 43 years, my wife's still not patient. Oh, your kids know better than that. Well, we're not gonna talk about the preacher, though. Folks, listen to me. Marriage is the perfect testing ground for long-sufferingness, for being patient. And my wife says, if there's one thing I wish God had just made completely right about you when he saved you, it'd be patience. But God didn't make me completely, perfectly patient when I was saved. No amens. But God says, fill yourself with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And after 43 years, your wife will thank the Lord that maybe you are a little bit better than you were. And by God's grace, we ought to be a lot better than we were. But where we're not, folks, what do? We keep asking Jesus, God, I mean, it's kind of obvious that after 43 years, I'm still not there. But God, I need you desperately because, God, I want to look like I'm supposed to look. I don't want to look unkind. I don't want to look impatient. I don't want to be hard-hearted. I want to bear with one another. I want to forgive each other. And I'll talk about the rest of that tonight, how God does it. But listen to me. God saved you. Helped you put off the old life, lost, dying, going to hell person. Thank God I don't wear that anymore. And since then, I've put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've become a new person. But I'm still growing. I'm still drinking the milk of God's Word and growing. The milk of God's Word is so that we'll grow into maturity. And what God wants us to look like, He wants us to look like two people. God wants to be able to take the person that used to be the most self-righteous, self-centered, egotistical Jewish person in the whole world. God in Christ wants to take that person that could not have been any more proud and egotistical and self-centered. God wants to make a group of believers out of people that were the worst self-righteous person there ever was. And put that same person on the same pew with someone that was wiping sweat off their head with someone's scalp and drinking soup out of a bowl made out of the top part of someone's head. And God wants them to be able to be sitting in a pew, and when the preacher says, let's join hands to pray, they just grab each other's hands and pray. That's who God wants us to look like. Now, I just simply want to know, do you want to look like God wants you to look? Or do you want to be stubborn and say, no way, I can't stand this sermon, I can't stand you? And believe me, there are people that can't stand that sermon And if I preach it, they won't be able to stand me. I hope we don't have any of those here. Because that's the Word of God. And that's what God wants us to be. And you may be close, or you may be far away. And I'm not going to be critical of where you are. I'm not critical of where you are. But I'm going to tell you, my heart will be broken if I find out that's where you want to stay. You are where you are. And I can't change that. But I can tell you by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, that's not where you need to stay. And if you're saved, God's not going to leave you there. God's going to change you. And you know what? As you change, as God changes you, you'll be thankful God changed you. And all of God's children said, let's bow our heads.